From WHQR's MC Ernie Gallery in downtown Wilmington, welcome to this Coastline Candidate Forum of 2015. I'm your host and moderator, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today we bring you the two candidates running for mayor of Carolina Beach. We welcome those of you tuning into HQR News at 91.3 FM, as well as those of you streaming our signal at WHQR.org. I'd like to introduce Coastline producer Isabel Shepherd, who joins me today to ask questions of the candidates. Isabel Shepherd, welcome.
Thanks, Rachel. Happy to be here.
Just a reminder, we covered the Carolina Beach Town Council race last week. That's a sizable race, and voters will find nine names on the ballot in spite of the fact that two have dropped out. You can listen to that full forum online at WHQR.org. If you're hearing us on Wednesday, we are live. Saturday is a rebroadcast. During this live Wednesday broadcast, we encourage you to email your questions to coastline@whqr.org. You can find us on Twitter at @CoastlineHQR. If you're considering a question, we ask that you write it in the form of a question. No statements will be allowed. It must fit within a 30-second time limit, and it must be relevant for all the candidates. The town of Carolina Beach is governed by a council consisting of a mayor, mayor pro tem, and three other council members. Elections are held every 2 years. The mayor serves a 2-year term. Council members serve staggered 4-year terms. Now let's meet the two candidates for mayor of Carolina Beach in alphabetical order. Bob Lewis was a corporate executive in the software industry for over 25 years before retiring earlier this year. He's president of the Island Men and chairman of the annual Carolina Beach Dragon Boat Regatta and Festival. He served on the town's planning and zoning committee before being elected to a 4-year term on town council in 2009. He also served on the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization and the New Hanover County Tourism Development Authority while serving on town council. In 2012, he was appointed mayor of Carolina Beach to fulfill the term of Ray Rothrock. He's happily married and has 4 children and 6 grandchildren. Bob Lewis, welcome.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate the invitation.
Dan Wilcox, the incumbent, is a 25-year resident of Carolina Beach. During that time, he served on town council as a council member and mayor pro tem. Prior to council, he served as commissioner and chair of the Planning Commission and on the Land Use Planning Committee and Land Use Plan Ad Hoc Committee. He's also served on the New Hanover County Tourism and Development Authority, Ports, Waterway, and Beach Commission, and Carolina Beach Marketing Advisory Committee, among others. As co-founder and chair of the Boardwalk Makeover Group, Dan Wilcox helped assemble a team of resident volunteers and stakeholders to restore the Central Business District and Boardwalk. Dan Wilcox, welcome.
It's good to be here, Rachel and Isabel. Thank you very much.
The format goes like this. Isabel Shepherd and I begin with our prepared questions. Candidates will have 90 seconds to answer each question. We will rotate the order in which candidates answer. There will be no opening statements to allow more time for questions. Jenny Johnson is our master timekeeper today, and she will signal when 30 seconds remains. Then again at the 15-second mark, she will ring the bell when time is up. We will incorporate audience questions as they come in and as we can. Remember, you can email your questions during this live Wednesday broadcast to coastline@whqr.org. At the bottom of the hour, we will take a 3-minute break and come back for part two. In the final segment, each candidate will deliver a closing statement, and if we need to go to a speed round in the event of a time crunch, both candidates will, of course, be given abbreviated, albeit equal time. Let's begin. Isabel Shepherd, would you direct the first question to Bob Lewis?
Absolutely. Hurricane Joaquin brought historic flooding to Carolina Beach. Do you think the town is adequately prepared to handle emergency situations such as hurricanes, flooding, et cetera? What are lessons there to learn?
Appreciate that. That's a great question. I think the town did an excellent job of the last storm we had with the water, significant rain and water damage we've had and control you needed of those areas. Long term, though, I think we need a plan, really a strategic plan, to take a look at where the low-lying areas of the community are, specifically I'm talking about the lake area in Carolina Beach, and is there some way to divert some of the water that comes to that low-lying lake to other areas or force possibly on the backside of our island so we can kind of really mitigate the problem for the poor owners of properties down there and the business owners down there consistently get beat up when there's this major rainstorm. So this is the second time, I think, in 5 years we've had the situation. I think the town has done a great job, the best job they could based upon the emergency procedures in place. I think they've done a great job of trying to get things mitigated for the residents as quickly as possible. But I think there's other things we can do, and it's not so much about how you can respond to the emergency. It's more about how can you eliminate or mitigate that problem in the future. And I think that's where the town should spend their time. How can we mitigate that in the future? I've talked to Gil DeBoy, who's director of our utilities. He's also heavily involved in this. He seems to have some real solid ideas, as well as the operational committee, on how we might be able to do that in the future.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Thank you. Yes, we had 23 inches of rain in 20 days. It was kind of a anomaly of conditions that came together to create the flooding we had. It's being termed as a 700-year storm, which is substantial. We live in a coastal low-lying area that floods for much less of a reason than what we just recently saw. I worked with staff as well as council members through the whole event. I can tell you that I've lived on the island for 25 years, been involved in most of those emergency situations working with staff, and I've never seen a better job done. They did a fantastic job. Some areas got flooded, and that's going to happen no matter what we do. Having said that, we've learned from previous events what needs to be done and how to improve, and we applied a lot of that to this last event. And we've learned from this last event, and we're already working on improvements for the future. So, you know, I would say that a great job was done all the way around. The citizens worked with us, reported things to us. We transfer that information to the town as it went on a live basis, and I think it went as well as it could given the storm that we were dealing with.
Thank you. This next question goes to Dan Wilcox. There are calls to improve the quality of the drinking water in Carolina Beach. One candidate for town council even claims citizens tell him every day how bad the water is. Do you see this as an issue? If so, what will you do to improve the quality of drinking water available to residents in Carolina Beach?
Well, from a quality of life perspective, water obviously is the top of our list. When I was elected to council in 2007, it was an issue then. We started looking at what it would take to put the water and sewer infrastructure improvement plan that's today in existence into play, and started planning and making maps and doing surveys to determine where all that water and sewer infrastructure was, because you can't do anything with it until you know what you've got as best possible. And then that went on to the next council, which that took it, moved that ball forward. And then when we got it, the design phases had been finished and we were ready to move forward, and the bond and funding was in place. So we pursued that proactively, and we're behind it. I'm behind it 100%. We're going to continue with all those phases. We're looking at creative ways to roll some of those costs into a bond with other improvements the town needs, so the citizens can have a sooner benefit from those things that might otherwise take us 4, 5, or 10 years to implement. So we're working on all those initiatives.
Thank you. Bob Lewis.
That is a great question. You know, I've been really passionate about improving the water quality for our residents since taking office in 2009. I think it's a very important part of that. I was on council with Dan when we initially were talking about how we'd improve that area. When he left the board, we then take a look at what are all the things we could do to make this thing happen. We thought, while we're improving the water quality, we also got to take a look at our stores and our storm sewer water mitigation. And so when we put the plan together that we initiated back in 2013, I think it is, we basically looked at all those issues, not just the water quality itself. There's a lot of pieces of this thing. It's just phase one has been started, but there's multi-phases in this process. I disagree with Dan. There's really no bond. We haven't gone out to a bond. We've actually made loans. So these are 20-year loans. We haven't ever voted on a bond in our community as of yet, as I know of. But I think it would be great if we can wrap it up into a bond. But right now we got low interest rate loans available to us, and it was the fastest way to make this thing happen versus trying to vote through some type of bond issue within our community. I think it's a thing everybody talks about as they go around the community. They all talk about the poor water quality. I was in a couple residence homes that showed me their filtration system so they can improve the water in their particular home. I think it's something we need to keep investing for our community, for our residents, and I'm supporting moving forward with the future types of phases that we have planned.
Thank you. You're tuned to our Coastline Candidate Forum featuring the Carolina Beach mayoral candidates. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, joined by WHQR's Isabel Shepherd. Isabel, if you would direct the next question to Bob Lewis.
This question was prompted by a listener, George. Last year, the Carolina Beach Town Council passed a resolution in opposition to seismic testing. Last week, council voted unanimously to adopt a resolution against offshore drilling. What are your views on these activities, and do you support the resolutions?
That is a great question. Everybody in the community has been talking about it. I've always had a position where I support not allowing seismic testing in our oceans, against any type of offshore drilling. I'm also against fracking. I know their governor is pushing through this whole bill about fracking within the state of North Carolina. As a resident, former resident of Pennsylvania with family in the middle of that state, I can tell you what's happened to that those communities up there where fracking is very popular. There's no value for our residents. There's not going to be any value for our community. We're a beach community. I think the impact of this is going to be extremely negative to us. There's no real positive. There's not going to be any jobs created for fracking. So if you're going to go out and explore gas or oil, there's not going to be any real jobs for us on the oil end. I'm really supporting of looking at alternative, methods of alternative renewable sources of energy, so like solar, and I'm real positive about the wind energy opportunities as well. So I'm really totally against this, and I think that's been my position from the beginning. I appreciate council for the resolutions that they've made. I think they're both the right decisions to make at the time.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox, same question.
Yes, thank you. Aside from the environmental concerns and the harm to marine life, you look at this from a cost-benefit analysis, and there is no benefit. We aren't going to earn any jobs. Any jobs that happen are going to come in from the outside. We have not been able to identify any direct revenues that would come to our town or even our county from these activities. As Bob said, under my term as mayor, we have adopted two resolutions. One is the seismic testing. We adopted a resolution against seismic testing. There was a unanimous vote by town council. And we recently adopted a resolution against offshore drilling. It was also a unanimous vote with our council. And we're proud to join those other coastal communities that are concerned about our environment, our beaches, our marine life.
Thank you very much. And this next question begins with Dan Wilcox. Owners of rental properties in New Hanover County are charged with a 6% room occupancy tax. The county's beach towns each get a share to pay for tourism and beach nourishment. However, with the recent rise in online weekend rentals, municipalities worry that rental owners are not fully reporting their earnings. How do you propose enforcing the room occupancy tax?
Well, that's a great question. I serve on the Tourism Development Authority Board, which is the group that is actually the one that's addressing this on behalf of the county. We've had numerous discussions on that in past meetings, and they're working, coming up with some plans. We're reaching out to some of these Airbnbs and these online services to improve accountability and collectability. That is a county tax. That is something the county is in charge of, but we have worked through the last year or so with them on a regular basis trying to increase ways to monitor Craigslist and other places where people are renting those types of vacation rentals that aren't paying ROT taxes. That is something that's being worked on. We're trying to we've recognized that in the earlier days it was not the low-hanging fruit. We didn't have all these online services, so the few people who were renting out their cottages or something did not account for a large number. But that has grown through the years, and I think it's to the point where we've asked the county to come back with a program that each of the beach towns can help facilitate, but it needs to be a county program since they're in charge of that process, and we would be glad to help them as best we can in those efforts.
Thank you. Bob Lewis, same question.
Myself, again, I've talked to a lot of the different people who have individual units that do collect the occupancy tax. the different rental, big rental companies who do the management companies who do the same thing. And they'll tell you over and over. I get calls all the time where a person says, well, geez, you're going to charge me 13% occupancy tax, and I can call six other people on BRBO or Airbnb, and they're telling me, you don't have to pay that tax. So clearly there is a problem. We've always known there's a problem. When I was in office, I went to the county on numerous occasions. I had really a big management company in Carolina Beach that was working with me. We talked to the county. I talked to the county. And the problem we have right now is the county doesn't want to allocate any resources to go after that problem. If you have one or two people trying to collect that problem in a big county like we have, it's not going to really make – it's not very effective. My thing was to look at the return on investment. We could be talking millions of dollars along our New Hanover County coast that we're just not getting that money back into the community. So I think, yeah, if you really take a look at the return on investment, if you add two or three resources, and those are two or three people to go out and start the collection process, as the communities like ourselves work with the county and identify those individuals that may not be paying this, or at least we find those individuals, then we can go out and make this a real benefit to the whole county. The county is going to pick up money. The towns are going to pick up money. It really is something I've been working on for a number of years myself.
Thank you. If you're just joining us, you're tuned to the Coastline Candidate Forum for Carolina Beach Mayor, broadcasting live this Wednesday on 91.3 FM and streaming live at WHQR.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn with WHQR's Isabel Shepherd. If you'd like to ask a question during this live Wednesday broadcast, send an email to coastline@WHQR.org. And Isabel Shepherd, if you would read this next question from our listener and direct it to Bob Lewis.
Yes, this is from Kathy. Since there appears to be a legitimate objection to the extension north, why has the TCB not had another public hearing to allow citizens to voice their opinion? Since the proposal to revitalize the boardwalk area was done several years ago, opinions have changed both for and against the extension.
Well, that's a good question. Again, I think most people know my position. I've printed my position out there in the Island Gazette and other areas, I think, as well as online. You know, initially, I was involved in coming up with the idea to do this boardwalk, replace the old boardwalk we had. And in that process, we looked at what we could do to develop grant money to make this thing work. My objective focus was really on replacing what we had and including the new hotel, trying to attract the new hotel to come to Carolina Beach. The extension was part of the staff recommendations and opportunities where we thought we might be able to increase the opportunity for additional beach accesses, which might get us additional grant money. When I take a look at the extension today, I find little value in it. It has really surprised me that we now have a town council who doesn't want to really even provide any information to the general public about it. There's been a number of requests for information. They've been denied requests for information. A variance has been put together without any public opinion. No public hearings have been held. There's no public opinion now being pulled in to talk about it. The community went out, the council went out and hired an additional attorney who is an expert in these fields to try and push this thing by the CRC. I think we're shortchanging the residents of Carolina Beach, and I think it's disingenuous to say that these taxpayers and the people against it shouldn't have a vote or just have a voice in at least what's going on.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Well, those are interesting comments, especially considering there was limited discussion on this before Bob took this to the county and asked for funds and pushed this boardwalk project forward. I certainly commend him for those efforts, but he went to the citizens and he went to the state and he went to the county and told them what a wonderful project this was and all the benefits it would bring to the town, the connectivity it would create to the harbor, the beach access it would create. We had raised funds for the pier, some state grants. That council was able to then divert those grants over to this boardwalk project specifically because of those promises that were made for connectivity and beach access. We have not changed any of this plan. We have not changed the funding mechanism. We have not changed the proposal other than to reduce certain impacts and work with certain property owners to make things better. And everything is public knowledge. I reject the comment that anything that's been asked for from Town Hall has not been provided. In fact, if you look at Facebook, I have posted numerous long posts on Facebook and asked any question to anyone has asked on this project, and that information is available with the town. Everything filed in the variance is public information, and it's all there, folks.
Thank you very much. As the population in New Hanover County swells, how do you think local leaders should plan? What provisions need to be put in place in Carolina Beach now for responsible growth in the future? Dan Wilcox.
Could you repeat that?
Yes. As the population in New Hanover County swells, how do you think local leaders should plan? Which provisions need to be put in place in Carolina Beach now for responsible future growth?
That's a good question, because there's a lot of quality of life issues in Carolina Beach, and a lot of those are connected to the county and the county growth. One thing we're doing is we're working closer with our county partners than we ever have before. We meet with the commissioners and the county staff on a regular basis on numerous issues and try and improve things that are good for our beach community but also work with our town. You know, the water improvement is a big part of that. The improvements at the boardwalk in our central business district and our highway business district serve not only our locals but our visitors that come is a big part of that. We have a – I think the thing we can do that's probably going to facilitate us – moving forward in the future, the most is going to be to solve our parking problem. We have a parking issue, and you know, we've met with the experts in the past, and the parking issue is a downtown issue. I heard some discussions about creating outlying parking areas, and people want to go to the beach for the day, they'll use those. But the experts have told us you have to be in the core central business district in order to make that parking available for people that want to go down there and shop for an hour or so and then leave. So we've got a number of things we are working on and a number of things yet to work on to continue to manage our growth just like every other community.
Thank you. Bob Lewis, same question.
Actually, I've had a number of residents ask me a little bit about this, and the concern really is, you know, all the traffic, all the car traffic. You know, are we going to get back to a major city-type traffic environment with all the population growth in our county? So I think you need to take a look at what are the infrastructure opportunities to bring traffic or change traffic flow all throughout the county. And number two, as we do that, how can we best do that within the community of Carolina Beach as well? I think I do agree with parking. Parking is something the business owners are looking for and trying to talk about. How do we solve a parking issue that we have, unfortunately, about 3 or 4 months of the year? And I think my approach to that thing is really talking about joint private and public type of ventures where you maybe take a look at how you identify parking opportunities within the open areas that are available to us in the boardwalk today. I think there's, as you take a look at moving forward in the future, definitely water quality is a problem for us. I think the sewer and, you know, stormwater treatment is also an issue we need to continue to focus on. But if we don't have some type of, with the MPO, if we're not really improving the way people get around New Hanover County, it's always going to be a problem as the growth of the county goes, and we're structured with one main road going into Carolina Beach and one bridge going in there. So I think the other thing I think we focus on is pedestrian bike types of paths to eliminate some of those cars on the road today.
Thank you. You're tuned to the Coastline Candidate Forum featuring the candidates for Carolina Beach Mayor. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn here today with Isabel Shepherd. And Isabel, would you direct the next question to Bob Lewis?
Do you feel there is sufficient transparency and communication between town council and the residents of Carolina Beach? Why or why not?
I think there's good communications right now. When I started, we developed websites. We've developed a Facebook page to get moving and get information out to people. We've provided information in the water bills out to individuals. I think there's an issue with transparency right now. A number of residents have questioned the transparency issue. Even the editor of the Outing Gazette in multiple editorials has talked about requesting information from the town, just recently from the town council, and basically getting rejected, just not getting information out. Other people have asked for information about how much costs are being accrued as we're looking at this boardwalk extension, how much an extra additional expert is a legal person is involved in, what are they doing? All that information has been just denied those individuals, and we can sit here and say, well, all that information is public, and that's not true. And behind closed doors, we got business being conducted by council and a mayor on text messages now. I some council member made me aware of it. I looked at it. I was fortunate enough is that Sarah Freedy and the town manager provided me text messages. My opponent here decided he's not going to provide those text messages on his watch, and that's fine. But I'm saying there is not transparency if you're not going to provide those. And if people are, we have a public server. If you're going to discuss business we all kind of agree that we're going to use the public server and an email server so anybody, media, or any individual in the community could find that information. Today, that's not available to you.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox, same question.
Well, I'd categorically disagree with everything my opponent just said. That information is just not true. Information that is ongoing and you know, expenses that are being incurred, obviously it's hard to provide some of that information in totality. I've asked the town manager what has been requested and what's been given, and everything that's been requested that is available has been given. As far as transparency goes, we've gone a long way to increase transparency. We've purchased our own video system. All of our meetings are videoed. We don't take any votes in closed session like was done in Mr. Lewis's reign. We only deal with emergency and urgency situations via text because it's more like a two-way radio situation where during fires, the flooding, and all those type of things, we can address certain issues in a fairly quick way and we can keep everyone informed. No decisions are being made. No votes are being done via that. So I have to disagree. Closed session, there's a reason why under the advice of our town attorney and Institute of Government, we are not recording closed session for personnel on personnel matters and other matters that are attorney-client privilege. And those are in the best interest of the citizens.
Thank you very much. This comes from listener Jeffrey. Proponents of a public pool for Carolina Beach have suggested using the space presently occupied by the library and water processing plant. Previously, the pool was proposed as an area resource for example, Ashley High School. The land totals about 1.5 acres. Does it have enough space for the pool, other proposed facilities, and parking for public events? Are there other areas in town that might have more space? Dan Wilcox.
I've taken a good long look at that property. That's where our library and our community center are. And obviously, our community center is in need of rebuilding or, replacement. That site has some challenges. There's currently a well on that site, and there's an old supply tank on that site. You have to maintain certain distances, and when you actually draw the areas around those that you have to stand off, there's very little buildable room. Now, that's a low-producing well, and we've had some discussions about maybe abandoning that and making that site more usable. But from the perspective of a pool, my position on a pool hasn't changed. I would support in the future when we have some of these other more important issues taken care of, a small community pool that's specifically for the residents of Carolina Beach. I am not in favor of $1.5 million aquatic center that would put our citizens at risk for the not only the construction of that, but the maintenance of that over lifetime based on projected numbers. I would invite a private group that feels that's a profitable venture to come into the town and see if we can't find a piece of property that they might want to do that project on.
Thank you. Bob Lewis.
Well, I agree. The property that was identified in that question definitely has a lot of challenges. I would hate to see us take out additional places like the library we have available to us today or not be able to do something with the community room. But I'm really looking at the project for the pool as being something of quality of life. We have a lot of new families moving into to our community, which I think is great. We're going to be more of a year-round community versus just a summer tourist-type spot. And those people are looking for additional amenities for their children, find places where their children can learn to swim, their children can learn have fun together. So I basically would say I'd take a look at the challenges, see if it makes sense, doesn't make sense, and then see if there's other opportunities within the town, if there are other space within the town we could possibly take a look at implementing this. When I was on council and as mayor, I supported having a committee. We appointed a committee, went out and evaluated this, came back with recommendations. Their recommendations was more in an aquatic type center. They know I had some concerns about it. I had some issues with how the thing was designed, and I personally would like to see something more oriented to families, more of a community pool, something that's good for everybody and not just for certain types of individuals in our town. So I support the pool project. We just need to find the right facility to make that happen.
Welcome back to this Coastline Candidate Forum featuring the two candidates for Carolina Beach Mayor, Dan Wilcox, and his challenger, Bob Lewis. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn with WHQR's Isabel Shepherd. Isabel, would you please direct our next listener question to Bob Lewis?
This question comes from listener Katrina. Carolina Beach relies heavily on service industry workers to support tourism, but these employees typically cannot afford to live in town. Do you have ideas for preserving or increasing affordable housing for those who support our beach economy?
That's kind of an interesting question. I mean, that's a challenge for everybody, I think, in any community. Unfortunately, when you get to the beach communities, our property values, just the property to land itself, is not inexpensive. It's an expensive proposition. I think the challenge there is to try and find those individuals who are willing to either invest in and put up some of those buildings. We're not a state government. We're not a county government. We're not a federal government. So a little bit difficult for us to put dollars into those things. But we do have some people that are starting to try and put together single one-bedroom types of facilities, and they're trying to rent. They're going to be renting those out. Those are happen to be in the form of container homes. There are other individuals who've come to the town that come to me and talk to me about putting those little homes, which are 500 square foot homes, up in certain areas of the town. And I said, depending on how the thing is zoned, you could take a look at those as well. But when you take a look at the service industry, I agree. I know a lot of those people in that business. I feel bad. It's a difficult way to find an apartment or some type of facility where they can afford it. And then I was a proponent to agree to bring down the transit system down so some of those people can live over the bridge, take a bus down, and that bus comes on maybe not as consistent basis, but does come back and forth between Monkey Junction and Carolina Beach.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox, same question.
Well, it is a property value issue, especially in a resort community. I lived in Virginia Beach in my early years. They had the same problem there, and they have much more ability to be able to, you know, carve out a section for something of that nature. It's just probably not, certainly not something council has any control over with regard to private property. What we have done, agreed to last 2 years to fund the Wave Transit system to connect Carolina Beach to the county. And my primary purpose for doing that, other than being a good, you know, good partner to the county, was for that service industry, to be able to bring people over that work in the hotel and restaurant industry and then get them back to, you know, to their residence. I think, you know, that's what we can do with that. As far as moving forward to do anything greater than that, I'm not sure what that would be, to be honest with you.
Thank you very much. You're tuned to the Coastline Candidate Forum for Carolina Beach Mayor here on WHQR's 91.3 FM. This next question goes to Dan Wilcox first. How would you rate the collaboration between Carolina Beach and New Hanover County, and how would you work with New Hanover County for the betterment of the region?
Well, I think the collaboration between Carolina Beach and the beach towns in general and the county is as good as it's ever been. We have engaged them on a number of issues. We've struck a respectful tone, but at the same time, we've been aggressive on issues that are in the best interest of our residents. And some doors have opened for us. We're able to bring the county to the table on an improved funding situation for our inlet dredging. We've been able to engage the county on four or five major issues that we're working on. And we talk to the commissioners on a regular basis, and we're truly engaged with the county on all the important things, including restructuring our ILA, our beach nourishment. We're in very productive discussions on potential long-term funding for beach nourishment. We work with them on a regular basis on those issues, and we've also able to form a committee. I pushed to have the ILA, the interlocal agreement on beach nourishment shortfalls, revised. Because it wasn't equitable to the beach towns, and that's been a very fruitful process, and the committee is going to be soon to bring some recommendations forward on that to the commission, and then the commissioners will be meeting with the beach towns.
Thank you. Bob Lewis.
Yes, the county, what I really proposed when I was in office, or I really my objective was to really develop relationships with our county commissioners, and I think I did a very successful job of doing that. And what I found in talking to those people, they have a mutual value interest in Carolina Beach and the beach communities. And in discussing where the value is, you start talking about shared revenues, you start talking about sales tax, you start talking about things that are helping everybody, our property taxes and what we contribute to the county. My mission there was I was in part of the first interlocal agreement that was written. I was on council 5 years ago when we got involved in the first interlocal agreement with the county. I realized that agreement had a five-year span, and now it's time to renegotiate that. Maybe there is opportunity. It looks like there's opportunity where we would like a little better split from the county than we have today. As far as funding the inlet, I've been a very strong member of the Carolina Beach Inlet Association, helping promote with the county and the state ways of helping us fund that particular objective for the town. But I think leveraging those relationships, we were able to really secure a $500,000 grant for our new pier. And that was all about relationships. It wasn't about them just going to give us the money. You know, I felt we as residents and we as a community, we had a heavy stake in the county, and I thought they should invest with us in this new venture, and they did.
Thank you. Isabel Shepherd, would you deliver your next question to Bob Lewis?
Both of you have served as mayor of Carolina Beach. Why are you more qualified than the person sitting next to you to fill that role for the next 2 years?
Well, my background, as most people know, has been corporate. I've been a COO. I've been a vice president. I've been a director. I've been a manager. And, you know, my background includes a tremendous amount of budgeting, financial reporting, operational efficiency and effectiveness, and also being on the forefront of technology. So in providing the community as a legislative body, just one member of the board, you know, I've been instrumental in going back to our staff and in giving them opportunities to take a look at what types of things we can do to help improve efficiency. So taking that experience and my education and background, those are the things I kind of propose, I think, that are really a distinct difference between myself and my opponent. One of the things I think we've done is that we've gone to an electronic billing system. We've got an electronic metering system for the water meters. That was one of the initiatives I talked about and brought the discussion into town, and that's basically all around technology. The idea is to get efficiency. So now we have more accurate billing. At the same time, we reduce the cost of delivering billing and so forth. As I go back to additional things, as you take a look at what can technology bring to you, I took all the members of the staff over to Leland, who's gone totally paperless. My objective was to take a look at a way for us as a community to go paperless and save ourselves significant money. We have three or four departments that took advantage of that and proved that, but others decided that they didn't want to go down that path. And those are the things I think differentiate myself from my opponent.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Yeah, we're a small beach community. It doesn't take big corporate people to figure out what's best for our community. I've worked hard. I've been over 15 years involved in volunteerism and working on town boards, P&Z, council, all up through that to have a better understanding of what works in our community. We're a unique community, and most of what works everywhere else does not work in Carolina Beach, and we've certainly learned that. I think that what we really need is common sense and hard work. And my approach to issues for the town have always been about common sense and hands-on, getting out there and doing the job, figuring out what the problem is and figuring out a solution. We had that problem back in 2008 when I was elected. We had a black hole in our community. Our boardwalk in CBD was virtually blighted. We identified that as something that affected our entire community, not just the CBD, but our highway business district, our tourism, our quality of life. And we fixed that problem over 8 years. We've been working on that, and we went from blighted to one of the top 10 boardwalks in the country. So I think it takes common sense, understanding your community, and the willingness to get out there in the community and work for what you want for the betterment of our community.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Forum for Carolina Beach Mayor. We have both candidates with us today on this live Wednesday broadcast. If you'd like to ask a question of the candidates, you can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, joined today by WHQR's Isabel Shepherd. This next question begins with Dan Wilcox. On a scale from A to F, with A representing excellence and F being a failing grade, how would you rate the town's current financial health and why?
Well, I'd have to tell you, I'd rate it as A. We're in the best financial condition we've ever been. Our utilities fund has over 100% reserve fund, which is about $7 million. Our general fund, we were working with a 67% reserve fund. We've used some of those funds to fund some capital improvement projects, and those funds we're currently still at a 54%, which is $7 million with the reserve funds. The funds we've used for the capital improvements will come back through loans, bonds, and assessments to the project we work those on. We've made some major improvements to the town along the way. We've taken what was being leased, property was being leased, and we were able to take this less money than those properties were being leased from to build an operations center that's going to provide critical services to the citizens for generations to come. And in 15 years, we will own that facility on town property. I think this council has made a lot of strong moves in capital improvements and quality of life issues, and we have a very strong financial position.
Thank you. Bob Lewis, same question.
Well, as we take a look at the financial situation, I think we do have probably an A or a B situation today, but that started way back when. I think Dennis Barber was mayor, when we had very low reserves. He and that council started this process and made an edict, and it makes an objective and an ordinance that we wanted to have 50% reserves in our general fund. And it was from that period of time through all the councils since that we've been able to push this thing and build upon our community. It helps dramatically when you have a lot of individual family homes being built. You have a new hotel coming in. You have multiple new restaurants coming in. As that community grows, that the tax base is coming across and providing those types of funds. So it's not like it's magic. The fortunate part of today is that we've kind of gone to this uncontrolled, unbudgeted spending. Unbudgeted, you had $1.5 million unbudgeted projects last year against a budget that was almost $20 million. And I'm not saying that a lot of those projects shouldn't have been done, is that normally a project really works within the budget. It really works best when you're really focused on planning what those are in your planning process. So for me, it sounds to me when we were planning the process, planning the budget, we didn't think about projects that we knew we were already going to implement, but we never really put those in a budget. So it left us $1.5 million in unbudgeted expense. And so I'm concerned when that goes on, because over a period of time, we could put ourselves in a worse financial situation.
Thank you. Isabel Shepherd, would you direct the next question to Bob Lewis?
Currently, no major beach access points have recycling bins at Carolina Beach besides the boardwalk. How would you handle the trash on the beach?
Well, I'm all supportive of the recycling. When I was in office, we basically went from the small little containers of recycling to a major rollaway for recycling for all the residents and all the business owners. And you saw the recycling go from probably 20% now. Probably if you talk to people, that recycling bin that they have at their home is now full, and their garbage is maybe half full. So we've really made a major impact there. And there's other areas where we're making impacts there as well. I believe that we take a look at, there's no reason why we shouldn't have at every single beach access recycling bins. There's no reason why we don't have it today. My objective would be to make sure we have it at each individual location. And we do the same thing when we're in Freeman Park. It seems like we have a lot of blue cans out there for garbage, but we don't have any recycling separation out there. And it allows people just to dump garbage, and there's no separation of that garbage. I don't think it's being a good steward of the community or the good steward of the beach if we're not going to invest in recycling. So from my standpoint, I would make one of my objectives would be getting recycling at every one of the beach accesses, and then finding out at Freeman Park how we can handle recycling as well. That may not be cans. It might be rollaways, or it might be some other types of ways of collecting those recyclable items.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Well, I think all the recent councils have worked towards recycling efforts. Recently, in this council, we achieved a grant to purchase all of the recycling bins you see currently out at the lake and the boardwalk and in the high traffic areas, which we identified as the area that needed those recycling bins the most. You know, I'm certainly in favor of doing recycling wherever we can, meeting with waste industries and the people that know how these systems work. There are a lot more challenges to just saying we're going to put recycling bins out on the beach strand. We've got 320 of those trash cans out on the beach strand. So to complement that with a recycle bin in each one of those locations would be 320 more bins. We're in the process of trying to reduce the cost to the town for what it takes us to service that. So we're certainly open to looking at, and we have had discussions about identifying beach accesses. We tried some of that in the past, and every one of those recycle bins was corrupted. People would put trash in there that made the effort useless. We had to take the trash out, and we had to put it back into the unrecycled bin. It's a community effort too. People have to be willing to put the proper have to be. There's an educational process. They have to be willing to put those recycled materials where they belong in order for us to process them. And that's been a huge problem in the past.
Thank you, Dan Wilcox. And this question begins with you. What do you view as the biggest challenge facing the town of Carolina Beach, and how would you work to solve it in this next term?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know there's any one big challenge. We have a couple of big challenges. You know, it depends on whether it's financial, quality of life, visitor-based. From a quality of life perspective, our water and sewer and our greenway and the livability of our community is extremely important. That not only affects our existing residents, but it affects people that come to our town and makes the decision whether they want to move here and live here and perhaps bring industry or businesses along with them to improve our economic situation. But we also have beach nourishment, which, you know, let's face it, we are a tourism town. Our industry is tourism. And if we can't continue to renourish our beach as it needs to be, if we can't provide parking for the businesses and the downtown area that's required to keep that engine moving, so to speak, then, you know, we're in trouble. So all of those things, whether they're about the Central Business District or not, affect our quality of life. Our people have places to shop on the island because we've made our business district healthier through the visitors that come over, and they help support that. So year round, whether it's 3 months or not, our folks have places to shop and buy things. It's a balance within the community we have to find.
Thank you, Bob Lewis.
I think the number one issue, as I look at it, and I'll talk about other things, but is really finding a funding source for our beach nourishment. You know, those residents out there in the community who are listening today or listening in the future of this broadcast, you have to know this is a $10 million project annually, and that cost just keeps going up exponentially. So today, the Corps of Engineers, which means the federal government, the state and county, kind of handle that for us. It doesn't cost us, the taxpayer, individually, any additional taxes today. In the future, we have a 15-year extension to have the permit to actually have beach nourishment, but there's no commitment for funding from the federal level. At the state level, the state says, we'll do a match. If the federal government will provide you funding, we'll match some of that funding as well. Today, we don't have an agreement that says if the federal government goes away and does not provide any funding, which they could, the Corps of Engineers could make that decision, then what would the state do? Because the state's saying, well, if you're not going to match on the federal level, we're not going to match on the state level. That leaves us at a significant disadvantage. The fortunate thing, I think we're talking with the state. We need more presence at the state government. We need more presence with the county to find ourselves a funding source, whatever that might be, that's really dedicated to beach nourishment for all the beach communities, not just for one ourselves or just anybody else. So I think that's the major problem I see and a major challenge I think the town has.
Thank you very much. And Isabel Shepherd, would you deliver the next question to Bob Lewis?
The revenues that beach communities receive from the county's room occupancy tax are split between marketing and tourism-related activities, including beach nourishment. Last year, Carolina Beach and Curie Beach requested more money for beach nourishment, which means less for marketing. That request was denied by the Tourism Development Authority's board. Do you think the distribution of the room occupancy tax revenue is appropriate? How would you like to see it divvied up?
I've been strongly voicing this thing since I've been on council and as the mayor. I believe the most important thing is to have sand on our beaches. We have numerous businesses, those being hotels, motels, restaurants, who are driving. We're pushing out advertising that are drawing people here. So my opinion is today I think we have really a terrible imbalance of the money going to marketing versus the money going to sand. So my position on this thing is I think we need to have a redistribution of how that money is allocated. I think today we waste money with the CVB at times when we're dedicating all these dollars to marketing. I've been part of the marketing advisory committee. I was basically part of the liaison between them for a number of years. And in sitting down and talking with those individuals as we put together these presentations from our county CVB, we took a look at areas where let's try this, let's try that, let's try this. And a lot of those things never worked for us. Now, we are getting additional room tax, ROT funds coming in. And they're using that as a measurement of saying, look at how good we're doing with this marketing. It's not just their marketing. It's Carolina Beach. It's the change in the image. It's all the advertising all these businesses do. It's the individuals, all the people who live here who promote the town. It's not just the advertising going on out of their convention center. And, you know, I've always had an issue with that. I'd see the percentage more 80% sand, 20% maybe for marketing. And that's my opinion.
Thank you, Bob Lewis. Dan Wilcox, same question.
Could you repeat the question?
Absolutely. The revenues that beach communities receive from the county's room occupancy tax are split between marketing and tourism-related activities, including beach nourishment. Last year, Carolina Beach and Curie Beach requested more money for beach nourishment, which means less for marketing. That request was denied by the Tourism Development Authority's board. Do you think the distribution of the room occupancy tax revenue is appropriate? How would you like to see it divvied up?
Thank you. You know, marketing our beaches is great, and I think our CVB is their experts in that, and they do a good job at marketing. And I think through their efforts, we have seen increased visitation. However, you have to have a product to market, and our product is our beach. So beach nourishment is as important as the marketing, if not more important. Being a representative, serving on the Tourism Development Authority, having meeting with the beach town mayors on several issues, I've taken some things before TDA, requesting some latitude on those funds, requesting some additional reserve funds in case of a catastrophic storm. Those have not been well received. We've not made the headway on those that we would like to have made, which is disappointing. So I think we need to continue to work on that with our legislators. We used to have an 80-20 split, 80% going to beach nourishment and 20% to marketing, and that's been changed. So I think every town you look at, every county you look at, handles these funds differently. The system that was put in place many years ago, and I think it's time for us to take a real close look at restructuring it in some way, shape, or form that meets all of our objectives.
Thank you very much. It's time for our candidates' closing statements. And Jenny, if you would reset your timer to 60 seconds, each candidate will have 1 minute to deliver the closing statement, and we will begin with Dan Wilcox.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. For those who don't know me, I'm a 25-year resident of Carolina Beach. I'm a father of three. I'm a longtime volunteer of the town. I've served on numerous town and county commissions and boards. I've served on a planning and zoning commission. I've served as your mayor. I've served as your councilman, your mayor pro tem. I've got a long history of understanding our community and trying to figure out, ways to make it work better. 8 years ago, we started an effort to turn our town around. That's been hugely successful. I'm proud to say I've been involved in that every step of the way in some way, shape, or form, either as an elected official or as just a volunteer. And that's why I'm running for re-election, to keep that positive movement going in the right direction and to just continue to make our town as good as we can for our citizens and visitors alike.
Thank you. Bob Lewis, your closing statement.
I want to thank the viewers out there, or the listeners out there listening to this today in the future. I'm a father, grandfather, and a strong community leader and a community volunteer. My wife and I moved here years ago. We immediately jumped into the community and started helping raising money for a wide range of charities, tens of thousands of dollars. I do the same thing today with the Island Men and, of course, our Carolina Beach Dragon Boat event. But, you know, the focus for me is more about, I'm not your typical politician. So I'm gonna tell it to you straight. I'm not going to go around and make campaign promises that I'm not going to keep. I'm not going to go around and say, give me your vote and I'm going to do this. I make commitments. I'm committed to not raising property taxes. I'm committed to improving our water quality and getting that project continued through the next couple of years. I'm committed to returning our government to total transparency. And I'm committed to basically doing the right thing for the right reason, not some political reason or not for any campaign donors or additional special interest group.
Thank you very much. That's all the time we have. I'd like to thank our candidates, Bob Lewis and Dan Wilcox, for participating in this forum. Thanks to you, our listeners, and those of you who contributed thoughtful questions for the candidates. Finally, thanks to executive producer Cleve Callison, producer Isabel Shepherd, technical director Ken Campbell, operations manager George Scheibner, consulting producer Bob Workman, IT specialist Lan Nichols, webmaster Melissa Stone, and master timekeeper Jenny Johnson. In case you missed part of this program, you can find it on our website at whqr.org. Later today, download the podcast from iTunes or listen to the rebroadcast on Saturday, October 24th. And remember to tune in next Wednesday at noon to hear from the candidates for Leland Mayor and Town Council. Most importantly, remember to vote. The one-stop absentee period for the 2015 municipal elections begins October 22nd and is open through October 31st. Election Day is November 3rd. For WHQR's Coastline Candidate Forums here on 91.3 FM, I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn.